Proverbs chapter number 3. If the Lord leads, we're going to be going through a study in the book of Proverbs. And once again, as I mentioned and alluded to earlier, this is one of these challenging books. You don't know really how to attack it. And so we're going to look at it. Instead of going verse by verse, we're probably going to go by theme by theme, and there's a lot of different themes in there, and you can spend a lot of weeks on a lot of the different themes, but I know the Lord's leading us to the book of Proverbs, but we're going to start off a little bit something different tonight. If you have, we do have a handout. The reason why we have a handout is because there's probably at least 20 different verses I'd like for you to read instead of trying to turn to each and every one of them. That's why we're going to be going. So it's the title of the message is The Availability of Wisdom. If you do not have a handout and would like to have one, just raise your hand, and I'm sure Mr. Bateman would be glad to help you get that there. So as I've been studying through the book of Proverbs, reading through the book of Proverbs a lot of times, I'm one of those people who like to try to do it according to the day of the month and try to read through the book of Proverbs. Probably can't say I do it every single month, but I would say probably 6 months out of the year, going through Proverbs, at least at different years, just because I enjoy it. It's just filled with so much wisdom. And one of the things I think about when I look at this, and as the Lord kind of laid upon my heart where to start at, is the wisdom's there. It's available. It cries out, it talks about in the book of Proverbs, cries out in the streets, and it's there for us to have. I look across the room and I see that there are some people that are younger than me here. Majority are older than me. Majority have probably been saved longer than I've been saved. And the wisdom from the Word of God has been there. It's in our lives. We hear it. Most would say we've been to church the majority of our lives, or at least for a number of years. We're hitting on 4 services a week: Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The wisdom is there. It's available. And so when we look at this, I'd like for us to begin by looking at Proverbs, show the availability of wisdom, but look at the Word of God. See how we should respond to the Word of God, what the Word of God can do in our lives, and what the Word of God is there and available to do, and how we should respond to it. So tonight's message is probably going to be nothing brand new that you never heard before, except for maybe some illustrations and maybe some different ways to apply it. But it's so important, so key in our lives. If we truly want the wisdom that's available, we're going to have to respond to the Word of God. You're going to have the right type of relationship with the Word of God. I'm going through discipleship with someone. Me and my wife are going through discipleship with someone, and we have recently looked at the Word of God passage of this, and God just kept on reminding me and speaking to my heart and reminded me, hey, you've been saved for over 40 years. You should have a lot more of this down than you do. And it's there. It's always been available. Wisdom's been there. Wisdom is the key there. And the book of Proverbs is chock full of wisdom. It gives us wisdom and gives us daily, and it talks about the importance of it. And as I was reading through and as I was studying and as I was talking to this lady in the discipleship class, explaining to her just these truths, and it's amazing what the Word of God can do. And it's powerful. It's alive. It's a living book. And the change that it can make in our lives if we allow it. So the availability of wisdom is what we're going to look at a little bit tonight. Hopefully this will whet our interest. And maybe as we are studying through the book of Proverbs, and probably take us all the way through the summer, there's at least 12 different topics I want to hit, probably more than that. And some of the topics may take more than 1 week. But probably go through the summer, maybe start choosing a proverb a day, reading a chapter a day, in addition to your other ones. You could be thinking about it and looking at it. You say, what do you mean by the days? Well, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. So if today being whatever day of the week it is it today the 19th? Is that right? Is the 19th or is it 20th? 19th? Hey, I got that right. Yes, yesterday was tax day. It was the 18th. So I'm one of those people, you know when I did my taxes? Yesterday. So you might laugh, but I don't want the government to get any of my money anytime sooner than they have to. So I think it's the first time we owed something in a long time. So it was just a little bit, though. So 19th, you read the Proverbs 19 and Proverbs 20, Proverbs 21, and you'll be hitting on a lot of the topics as we go. And for the next 3 or 4 months, I can almost guarantee if you read it with a heart that's open to God teaching us something, you're going to get something out of it. It is just, like I said, full of wise things.
So the availability of wisdom says in Proverbs chapter 3, look what it says, verse 13, and we're just starting off here because of that first word, happy. Now, this word happy is the same word in the original text as you saw in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1, which is blessed. And sometimes it is translated happy, sometimes it's translated blessed. And who is the person that is blessed? Who is the person that is happy? It's the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And you say findeth wisdom means that you have to, there's a chance. No, if you're looking for it, you can find it. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 2. Look what it says in verses 1 through 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and incline thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searcheth for her as his treasure, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It's there, the Lord's the one that giveth us. Look at verse 6. The Lord giveth wisdom. He's the one that gives us the wisdom. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. It's having an understanding. Knowledge is factual. Wisdom is being able to apply it. Apply it in a way that God would apply it to situations and to our lives today. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 1. And this is where you look at your outline, Proverbs chapter number 1. It says verses 20 through 25. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth into the chief place of concourse in the openings of the gates. And the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I want you to get see that. Once again, sometime over a study, we might come back and look at this, but it's there. Wisdom is there. It is available for you. It is something that the Bible says is crying out to you. There is a desire that's there. Wisdom is available. So wisdom comes from God, comes from the Word of God. Look what it says in James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, what is he supposed to do? It says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. Sometimes people are like scratching their head. I wish I knew what God would want me to do here. Or I wish I had some wisdom concerning a certain subject. It's crying out to you. It's just that many times people reject it. Many times people don't want to hear it. If you look again at Proverbs 1:22, it says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And as scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. It's saying that there are people out there that even though they know the truth and they just continue to say, I choose to remain simple. I choose to remain a scorner. I choose to hate the knowledge that's there and is available. The Word of God has not changed. The Word of God is the same and it's there and it's available for us. And so when we look at the book of Proverbs, I want us to remind us that there is truths that in this that's there available. It talks about being sluggard. It talks about being prideful. It talks about the strange woman. It talks about wisdom. It talks about the fear of the Lord. It talks about so many things. The truths are found right here in the Word of God. It's always been available to us. So think about this. If you point number one, the Word of God offers wisdom. The Word of God offers wisdom. If you think about what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and once again, we're going to be going down this. If you want to follow along the paper, you can. You don't have to. Some people don't like papers. You want to crumple it up and throw it to the side, that's fine. But 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the point is that the wisdom is available. And that's why he says all scripture, all the Word of God, it is profitable. And what is it profitable for? It says it's profitable for doctrine. You know what it does? It teaches us what we should know. It teaches us what's right. It teaches us what to believe. The Bible teaches that. Once again, it's available. It's sitting right here. It's available. And then not only does it teach us truth, it also teaches us reproof. It shows us where we're wrong. It corrects us. We need that. We all need correction when we're going astray. And if you looked in the Word of God, it's there for you. The Bible says it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's how to get something right. I don't always enjoy being corrected. I probably pretty much never enjoy being corrected. But I'd like for someone to tell me, okay, this is what's wrong. This is how you get it right. And the great thing about the Word of God is it shows us where we're wrong, but it also shows us oftentimes, many times, and every time, how you can make this right. And not only does it say, hey, don't do this, but do this. You look in the book of Ephesians, you look at Colossians, you see what it looks like to be a spirit-filled man, but you also see what it looks like to be a fleshly-filled man. And the scripture is saying here, not only is the Bible here and the Bible can help you teach you what you should know, but it shows you when you're wrong, it shows you how to get it right, but then it says for correction, but also for instruction. It tells you how to keep it right. It tells you how to get the direction that, hey, I want you to do it this way, because if you do it this way, you're not going to have a problem. And that's all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is applicable for all those things, in the idea that it is something that will teach us what we're supposed to know and teach us what's right. We don't have to guess about it. It will also show us when we're wrong. It will reprove us, and then it will also instruct us and correct us. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal about this? This is truly vital for anyone seeking wisdom. This is truly vital for anybody who says, I want to know what God says about this subject. I don't want to just have knowledge. I want to be able to, God, as we saw in Proverbs chapter number 2, it says in verse number 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. It comes from God. It's how to take the knowledge we have and apply it to situations. Sometimes some of the smartest people I know, they have so much knowledge, but they're unable sometimes to apply it to a situation. Sometimes some of the smartest and those people that are geniuses sometimes have struggles with making a quick change at last minute or last second because they had to let it process through their brain. For me, it's easy. All you got to do is this, this, and this. It's going to be fixed. It's not going to be a problem. But they had to take it and they had to process it through. And they want to think and they had to consider, they had to check this off the list and check this off the list and check this off the list. When it comes to the scripture, this is vital. We have to learn to believe what the Bible says is true. Secondly, when it corrects us, we'll take it as rebuke from the Word of God. But then we'll also learn how to correct those things that it's rebuked us about. And then we'll learn how not to make the same mistake again. That is what the Bible, what the Bible offers, that type of wisdom. If you're looking at a second point, and this is probably the longer point, is how should we respond to the Word of God? These are pretty simple, pretty basic. But the question is, do you do them? Is this something that you do? The first one, it talks about read it. Read it daily. Read it daily. Job 23:12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I remember one preacher saying, hey, I learned something that I got distracted. If I didn't read my Bible early, then I never got to the opportunity to read it like I should. And he says, I never eat anything until I make sure I read my Bible. What does that do? For some of you, that might not matter, but I like to eat. So if I know that I'm not going to eat until I read my Bible, then I'm going to make sure I read my Bible and make sure that that's there. And it's more than checking it off the list. But what the Bible's saying here is that it is more esteemed that the words of his mouth more necessary, more than my necessary food. It's something we should read every day. Not only should we read it, it's more than just reading it. Not only should we read it, but we also should hear it consistently. We should hear it consistently. We should hear the preaching of the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about listening to it audio. That's one thing, and I know that people do that sometimes. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. When I'm going through a study, sometimes I'll listen to done through audio. It's not my favorite. I'd rather read it. But listen to it preached. It's the foolishness of preaching. It's important that you hear preaching. God works through preaching. Yes, he works through reading it. He works through study of it. He works through all these different ways. But he says it here in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you hear the day approaching. I mean, how much and how many times have we been helped through good Bible preaching. I know my life has been changed many times through good Bible preaching. I'm not replacing the reading of it. I'm saying this is something you should hear it preach. I went to Harmony Baptist Church last night, and I heard Pastor Joe Secure preach it in the revival service. They're having revival service this week from Sunday night to Thursday night. And Brother Secure did a good job. And when he preached last night on the subject of hell, and he gave an illustration in my mind that I'll probably never, ever forget. It's something that someday when I preach on hell, it makes sense. And that what happened there is they used the word of God. They applied the word of God. And he taught in a way to where, like I said, it was something that lasted effect. And that's what we need to hear the word of God preach. God tells us to do. So not only do we read it daily, we should hear it consistently. We should meditate on it continually. And this is what the scriptures say. Meditate on it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Now, the success in the world's eyes is maybe different than what the world's believer's eyes. But he says, if you will learn to not only not let it depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night, is something that it will cause good success. Psalms 1, 2, and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall doth prosper. Think about it. He's saying you can have a prosperous, successful life. And I'm not talking about being successful in Facebook's eyes or in your family's eyes or in your friend's eyes or your neighbor's eyes or even in your children's eyes. In God's eyes, you will be prosperous and have good success. How does that tie in? It ties into actually meditating on the Word of God. It's not just reading it and hearing it, but taking it with you and considering it and meditating on it. Not only that, it goes a step further. It says, memorize it. Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You ever got tired of sinning? I have. You ever got said, man, I wish I could just give this up. I wish I could have victory. I wish that I could actually just get over this once and for all. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He's saying if you'll hide God's word in your heart, you're going to have an army there. You're going to have a buildup there to help you not sin against him. Does that mean you're going to be sinless and perfect? No, it doesn't. We, except for Jesus, we all have sinned. But at the same time, it teaches you, if you want to have victory, put God's word in your heart. He's like, well, pastor, it's just so hard as an older person to memorize. I don't think anybody that's outside of school should have to memorize. We all remember important things in our lives. Most of us would not forget our wife's birthday, or we'll be reminded of it. Most of us are not going to forget our anniversary. Most of us are not going to forget our phone number. Most of us are not. And I understand some people deal with mental illness, and sometimes there's dementia and all those different things. I'm saying as much as you can, if you ask God for his help, he will help you in remembering. Maybe it's not a whole verse. Maybe it's a phrase at a time, but he will help you. He's not going to tell you to hide God's word in your heart and then not at least give you the opportunity. It should have a priority in your life. Study it regularly is your next thought. Study it regularly. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That idea, study, means to be diligent. Diligently in God's word. So how do we apply this? How often do we read it? And I'm not talking about just reading. He says, let's take another step. Let's listen to it being spoken. Not only are we talking about being a hearing the word of God, but meditating on the word of God and memorizing the word of God. And then you get to certain topics and you want to study certain things out and you want to learn certain things. You want to apply scripture with scripture and try to understand the setting of what day and time and what group was this written to? Who was he speaking to? And what time period? Where was Israel at? Was in the Old Testament? Was Israel in the promised land? Was it in Egypt? Was it with Abraham? the beginning, or was it in bondage to, and during the book of Judges, or was it in bondage up in over in Babylon, like in the book of Daniel? What type of settings that are there? Learn to study the Word of God. Learn to embrace it. And normally we have something that we make our muse. Normally we have something that we focus and fixate on. Sometimes certain people, it's a hobby. Sometimes people like to get so involved in a certain sport so they can become an expert with it. Sometimes it's a work that's there. Sometimes, you know, there's a variety of different things. We are all, many of us are good at something or know a lot about something. We could impress someone with certain type of knowledge. Is that true about the Word of God? You can impress someone with your hunting skills or maybe your baking skills or your knowledge when it comes to basketball or football or soccer, or knowledge when it comes to the classics, or knowledge when it comes to music, or knowledge when there is something that usually we gain more information about. And Facebook doesn't count. So there's more to life than social media. And even though you could say, hey, I know all these posts from these different people over the last 10 years, okay, then what we need to make sure that we have knowledge is that we study the Word of God. Nothing wrong with having other interests, but make sure as we listen to what the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Look at that, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So many times people do not rightly divide the Word of truth because they're not diligent in their study of the Word of God. Next thing, apply it and obey it faithfully. I didn't know which one to pick, whether it's apply it or obey it. So we put both there. Apply it or obey it. You read this in this familiar. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth the manner, what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And as I was explaining, the cool thing about talking to somebody in discipleship is you can give all the illustrations you've given before, and they're new to a new person. And I reminded them of the illustration of, hey, you're looking in the mirror. And the morning time you look in the mirror, and why you look in the mirror is because if there's something that needs to be fixed, you fix it. Maybe your hair is out of place, or maybe all your hair is out of place. Maybe you have something on your face, or maybe something needs to be cleaned up, or something needs to be put on. You know, maybe you have something stuck in your teeth. You look in a mirror just not to admire yourself. You look in a mirror to see, is there something I need to change? And when you look into the Word of God, it says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way straightway, forgetting what manner of man he was. And I explained that many times you look at the Word of God and you read it and you hear it and you meditate on it and you memorize it and you study it and you get it all done. The wisdom's there. The wisdom's available. Now you need to take that wisdom and apply it to my life. Apply it to your life. And obey what it says. Because if not, it's going to be like your hair's all messed up. And you just don't care. Oh, it doesn't look that bad. And we walk away. Which, you know, whether you want your hair to be messed up, that's fine. At the same time, it's your life. It's your testimony. It's what you look like. It's that sometimes we have all this knowledge, but we don't take the time to apply it to our own hearts and apply it to our own lives. Look what it says in James 1:21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Remember that word meekness that we talked about on Sunday night. Strength under control. Meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Strength under control that we choose by realizing this is God's word, that I'm going to take and I'm going to apply that. I'm going to have it engrafted in my life so that way it can naturally come out. You think about a tree that grows out a limb and grows out a fruit, that tree is engrafted and that branch is engrafted in that tree. It naturally comes from that tree, that the Word of God, once we put it in our hearts and we put it in our lives and we apply it and we obey it, it will naturally come out of us. And I know what you're going to say, Pastor, point one, point two, heard it all before. The question is, do you live it? We have no sense going through the book of Proverbs and looking at all the jewels and looking at all the wisdom, looking at how it talks about trusting the Lord with all thine heart, Lean not into thy own understanding, looking about trusting and looking about all these things, because these are all things that many of us already know, but do we apply it to our hearts and do we apply it to our life? The wisdom is there and it's available, but the question is it something you're taking and using? So I'd like to look at this point number three, kind of as a litmus test in our lives. And take, hey, I've been saved 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. For me, it's been 40 years in my mind. I believe I got saved, I think it was somewhere in April and back in when I was 9 years old. So I kind of just recently had what they call your spiritual birthday. And 40 years. And I look at that and I say, in 40 years, have I grown like I should? The answer is no. It's always been there. It's never been taken away. It's always sat there. I've always had more than one copy of it. I heard it preached more than once. Probably every single week of my life, I've heard that Bible preached more than once. Every single week of my life. Can you add that up? How many messages that is? Unless I was sick, I was in church at least twice. Probably 90% of my life, I was in church four times a week for the last almost 50 years. You add that up, that's a lot of sermons. But none of it matters if I don't apply it. So the third thing I want you to see is what the Word of God does in a person's life. What the Word of God does in a person's life. Here it goes. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Here's the litmus test for me in my life. I'm not going to let the world conform me. I'm going to let His Word transform me. So it's not just something I'm changing myself. It's something that God transforms us into becoming what? Becoming more like His Son. Remember, it starts over here with salvation. It ends with glorification. But in between the salvation and the glorification is a sanctification process. We can't become more like Christ on our own, but God takes us and He transforms us to become more like Him. It's when we stop letting the world conform us and we start, as it says, by renewing of your mind, that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We allow God to make us more like Him. You sit there and say, "Pastor, I've been saved for 20, 30, 40 years of my life, and I don't think I'm more like Christ than I was yesterday, or I was 10 years ago or 20 years ago." It's not God that's broken. It's your approach to the Word of God that's broken. Yes, you may read, and that's the question is, do you read it? Yes, you may even think on it a little bit, but from reading it and hearing it and meditating on it, memorizing it and studying it and applying it and obeying it faithfully over these years, God says He will transform you. He will make you more like His Son. So underneath that, think about it. When your understanding of the Bible increases, your knowledge of God increases too. When your understanding of your Bible increases, your knowledge of God increases too. That's one of the things I like in our discipleship class. I like in our discipleship book that we use. Many of these things came from that thoughts, from the things I've recently taught. It opens up the eyes of people. I don't know how many times I sat there and talked to someone who had recently been saved, who thought they could lose their salvation. And went down and sat and have one-on-one conversation. No, this is what the Bible says. This is what it looks like to be a child of God, and begin to explain to them that is eternal life and everlasting life. And just like you, even though you might try to disown one of your children because they did something wrong, doesn't mean that you did not, they're not still your biological father or the biological mother. God and Father is, if when He saves you, become a child of God, you can't pluck yourself even out of God's hand. And it's the opening, that understanding that opens up. You learn more and more about God. At 1 Peter 2:2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." It does not stop there. It's supposed to continue. As it says in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." It's saying that we should be growing in grace every single day. We should be growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Not just growing and knowing more about the Bible, but growing in our understanding about who God is. learning about God. That's why when we started the Gospel of Mark, I know in the last 15 years we've done the Gospel of John one, so we've done the Gospel of Luke, and some people might be, why are we doing the Gospel of Mark? And you know, because they all present Jesus in a different light, in a different way. And I says, let's go, let's watch Jesus in this. Let's not have these preconceived notions of this is what I think he says, and this is what he means. Let's see for ourselves what Jesus says. Let's see for ourselves what Jesus does. Let's see for ourselves that Jesus has compassion on the group when the disciples really didn't want to. Let's see and watch how he was willing to touch the leper. Let's willingly see how he responds to the situations when they're sitting there and they're watching and seeing whether or not he's going to heal the man with the withered hand and how he responds to it, because we have many times preconceived notions. This is what God thinks, but we don't get it from his word. We get it from our own messed up thinking sometimes. So that's why I encourage you that you don't just, as a newborn babe, you desire. And if a person truly is saved, and like I said, I've been through a discipleship class with not as many people as I like to see, but I've seen people excited and they want to learn. I've seen older people in their 70s, maybe even 80s, that try to memorize the verses, and it's wonderful to watch them learn and have their eyes open. I've also sat across the table a couple of times with people who had really no interest and not even sure they even were saved, because they weren't a newborn babe desiring sincere milk. Not that they struggle with showing up every week, because that's hard sometimes with busy lives, but I could see in their heart there just wasn't much interest, much understanding, much desire. It wasn't even the fact that they weren't willing to learn the memory verse of the week. It just, they seemed like it was dead. It just had no interest that was there. And then you say, well, Pastor, sometimes that's me. That's not good. That's not natural. That's not normal. On Sunday, whether in Sunday school or Sunday morning, we're talking about the next beatitude. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We should be hungering and thirsting. And if you have no hunger or no thirsting inside your body for the word of God, there's something wrong. It's either the fact that you were never been saved or the fact that you're sick. You think about when you're sitting at the hospital. I've seen people at the hospital and they're sick. They're sitting in the hospital bed and they bring that hospital food to you and they put the hospital food down. How many times when you're sick, what do you say? I just don't want to eat. Why is that? Because there's something wrong inside. There's something that's missing in here. And now, don't get me wrong, I've seen hospital food before, and that just might make you sick to begin with. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the fact that if you don't hunger and you don't thirst for the word of God and you don't thirst for after his righteousness and holiness, it's either the fact that you're not a child of his or there's something wrong with your relationship. There's something wrong inside. There's something wrong because you don't have any desire to be growing, because the natural thing for a believer to do is be interested in his word. And sometimes the reason why we don't want to eat the food that's presented and we don't want to eat the protein and the vegetables and the fruit is because we've been filled up with the junk of this world, and we've allowed ourselves to be filled up with other things, and we don't hunger and thirst after the right things. Instead, we hunger and thirst after lustful things, and we miss the whole point. And the word of God is saying here, we should be growing in the grace and knowledge, and this is what the word of God will do for you. As you begin to learn about him, as you begin to understand about him, you're going to want more. Is the devil going to try to stop you? Is the devil going to try? Yes, he will. But you're going to want to desire more. You're going to want to know more. And I know sometimes it becomes hard and tough. Next point is obeying the Bible produces Christ-like maturity. Obeying the Bible. Sometimes this is where the stop comes. I'm willing to go all this way, but I'm stopping right here. We talk about being hard-hearted on Sunday morning. Go all this way, but I'm not going to be. You're not going to be Christ-like unless you're willing to go all the way. Look what it says there in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, you get that glass again, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It means that as we view the word of God and as we see the glory of the Lord and we desire to be like him, we allow him to transform us from that point of salvation, that immature young believer, to becoming more like him. We're never going to get there. We're never going to attain on our own. Instead, God will finish that for us, but we're going to do our best to become as much like him as we could. That's what it's talking about. That's what the Word of God does. It makes us more like Him as we obey Him. It says that it's going to be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I used to think, people used to tell me all the time, hey, you look like your dad. I'm like, no, I don't. I used to fight against it. But you know what? Every time I look in the mirror nowadays, I look like my dad. He has a little bit more hair than I do. Actually, I probably have more hair right now. But when I'm my dad's age at 75 or a little bit older than 75, I don't think I'm going to have as much hair as he does. But as the years have gone along and I remember what my dad looked at this age, I look like him. Sometimes I look there and people always compare Christian and Andrew because obviously it's easy to do. I mean, we're around, you know, Christian as a young person. One time when we had the Father's Day things up there, they had pictures of people when they were younger and they put my picture out there. And they said, why in the world did you put Christian's picture out there? Because Christian looked so much like I did. I looked so much like Christian did when he was five or vice versa. Now, as time's gone along, people would argue now, if you meet me for the first time, you meet Christian and meet Andrew for the first time, because of the way that maybe we comb our hair and our body build, people would say, hey, Andrew looks like you. You know what has happened? As time has gone along, things have changed little by little by little. And when anybody ever says, hey, you look like your son looks like you, I always tell them I feel sorry for their future wife. Because they're going to have to look at that face for how many years. But it's the reality is they have become, over time, they have changed to become looking. Andrew looks maybe a little bit more like me. Christian does whatever he can because he's heard all his life not to look like me. So he parts his hair on the other side. He says it's not because of the reason, but I think it's because he doesn't want to look like his dad. I don't blame him. But it's the same thing as changing it day by day. If you don't look more like Christ today than you didn't do 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years ago, there's something wrong. There's something that needs to change. And what needs to change is our approach to the Word of God. Because He says He will transform us by the renewing of the mind, day by day, change by change, little by little. It says their image from glory to glory. Obeying the Bible will produce a Christ-like maturity in your life that you will not get. You will not receive it until you're willing to be obedient to it. Last but not least, you see, continued use of the Bible produces spiritual discernment. And here's what I really believe is the litmus test for me. I learn and know and understand. And once again, it's not just a knowledge of God. It's understanding why God is merciful. Now, we cannot understand the deep things of God. He explains those things to us. But there are things that we'll never scratch the surface of that we won't understand till we get to heaven. I understand all that. But we can learn more about Him. I know more about the grace of God today than I knew 20 years ago. I know more about the mercy of God. I know more about the holiness of God. I know more. I think I know Him better. Because of my response to the Word of God. And not only that, I think that I become more Christ-like as I'm obedient. That happens. But here's some verses that is convicting, but also helps me understand. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. It says, For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Or become such as have need of milk and of not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So in the passages of Scripture, they're saying there is someone who's heard the Word of God, who's maybe been saved for a long period of time, or at least been around the Bible because the wisdom is available, that they should be at the point that they should be teachers. But instead of being teachers, they have to be taught once again the principles of the oracles of God. Why is that? Because their approach to the Word of God has been wrong. Their approach to the Word of God, maybe it was reading it, maybe it was meditating it, maybe it was even memorizing it, maybe it was all these other things, but they never applied it, they never obeyed it, they never got to the point that it became their desire. So because of that, they come to a spot, and I tell this sometimes to new believers. I had this discussion. I just said it a few days ago. Sometimes you'll see someone who says they've been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Be worrisome if somebody says, I've always been saved, because you don't get saved as a baby. You don't get saved as an infant. It doesn't work that way. But I said, sometimes you say, but they don't act like a believer. They don't act like a Christian. They don't follow the things of the Word of God. They don't act like Christ does. When it says, do this, do that, they seem like they do something differently. Why is that? And it's saying it right here is because they've never learned to swallow the things at the beginning. They've never taken the basic biblical principles that they should have learned a long time ago. Instead, they've rejected it. It said they didn't apply it. It said they didn't obey it. So somebody has to reteach it to them again. So instead of being the teacher, instead of being the example and saying, there's someone that's been saved for all those years, I can learn from them, I can grow from them, instead they're still struggling with the same things that an immature, a newborn believer might look like, a newborn believer might act like. It amazes me. In some churches, we feel like it's more important a newborn believer behave exactly perfectly right, when sometimes there's some child of God or some saint of God that's been saved for many years that does not even behave as well as the immature believer. And why is that? It's because of the fact it's saying here that everyone that uses the milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The intention, as we showed you earlier, is to grow in grace. But sometimes there's believers that have just remained a babe in Christ. And it's because of the way they embrace the Word of God. It's the way that they look at the Word of God. They may have knowledge, but they've never let God teach them the wisdom that comes from God. They may be book smart, but they don't know how to apply it. And that's why it says at the end, it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They've come to a spot that they can realize, hey, this is right and this is wrong. This is how it should be done and this is how it shouldn't be done. And it's because of their approach to the Word of God, they have not allowed God to increase in their knowledge, not just of the book, but who God is. And they have not allowed the obedience of the things they've learned to make them more like Christ. So they come to a spot, and there's Christians on both sides of an issue. And sometimes people are like, well, I don't understand. If we all serve the same God, shouldn't we all feel the same way? Or there are some Christians that will take the Word of God and they'll apply the Word of God literally, and they'll sit there and they'll take certain things. They won't leave certain things out. They won't say, well, let's just ignore this and let's focus on this. They want to see the whole counsel of God, and they want to say, okay, let's discern what is right and what is wrong based off what the Scripture says. That's why I'm saying, you go through the book of Proverbs, it's filled with stuff. But if we can't learn to discern, if we can't know to be that teacher that we should be, not everybody's going to hold the Word of God and teach a class, but all the believers should be able to teach. I know sometimes people say, so the elder women should teach the younger one. I get that, but you know what? Sometimes some of the older women shouldn't be teaching some of the younger because they're not learned this. They should be teachers, but they can't be because they never learned this part. And same thing with the older men. Sometimes I've seen older men. They should. We need that. We desperately need it. We crave that. Great leadership. But it's got to be godly leadership. It's got to be Christ-like leadership. It can't be worldly leadership. It can't be me leadership. It's got to be impressing someone with Jesus Christ. And they don't know how to discern what's good and evil. So I want to encourage you tonight. How do you respond to the Word of God? Pray and ask God that you'll be someone who could know the difference between right or wrong. Because I see sometimes people that are mature believers, and I watch what they say, I watch how they act, and I'm sure sometimes people scratch their head with some of the things I might say or do. But I look at that and say, where is this in the Bible at all? This attitude, the way you react, the things that, you know, somebody somewhere, there's been a disconnect. Some point in time, we have stopped allowing the Word of God from transforming us from that immature baby Christian to becoming more like Him. Yes, it doesn't happen overnight. It's from glory to glory. I didn't become to look like my dad overnight. It's happened as I gotten older. And it's little by little by little. And it goes back to understanding God's word has wisdom available to us. It does. But we need to read it. We need to hear it. We need to meditate on it. We need to memorize it. We need to study it. We need to apply it and obey it. And God tells us that as we renew our mind, He will transform our lives to become more like Him. He said, no, I can do all of it. I'm good. Become more like Christ on my own. You can't do any type of transformation on your own. You can't. You can't say, well, I'm Christ-like. And it's sort of like people going up and saying, well, I'm this. I'm a dog. I'm a cat. It doesn't happen. Men saying, I'm a woman, and women saying, it doesn't change it. God makes that transformation as we become more and more like Him. We cannot do it on our own, and we will not be able to do it unless we have the right attitude to the Word of God. It's available. It is available. And what we would love to see is a bunch of mature Christians. I love to see myself be that mature believer that can help teach others also and that can discern from good and right. But there are sometimes things in my life that I have to be taken back and said, you've never learned this. You have to be taught with the milk again. You're going to have to do the immature thing again because you never learned to grasp a hold of that. And I think all of us would say there are people who say they've been saved for many years that act like an immature believer at times. And what happened is that their approach to the Word of God failed at some point in time. Now, I know we slip, we fall. You know what? You slip and you fall. What do? You ask for forgiveness. You make things right. And then you continue on. You don't ignore it. You don't act like nothing ever happened. You don't pretend like, hey, we're all sinners. No. You get it right because that's what the Word of God would have us to do. And you continue on in your relationship. Continued use of the Bible produces spiritual discernment. And there are some people today that are lacking spiritual discernment. You can see it in their lives. If they do things contrary to the Bible, but they've justified it. What happened? There was a disconnect somewhere. Maybe it's they stopped reading it, and there a lot of you wouldn't believe how many believers are there. I'm just not reading it. It's because when they used to read it, they never listened to it, and they never meditated on it. And never memorized it, and they never studied it, and they never obeyed it. So because of that, it all became fleshly. Because of that, it all became, hey, nothing's talking to me. Nothing's changing. This isn't helping me at all. I'm not just going to sit here and read something just to read something. So they stopped reading it because of the fact that they never allowed it to make the change in their life because they never were willing to take the time and the effort that comes along with listening, with reading, with meditating, with memorizing, with studying, and with obeying it. And so somehow there's a disconnect. So as we get ready, when I'm looking at that wisdom in the book of Proverbs, it's there. It's available. And God says all scripture is given by inspiration. And what is it profitable for? It's profitable for everything. It's profitable for doctrine. It shows us what we should believe. It's profitable for reproof. It tells us when we're wrong. I don't like being told when I'm wrong. But you know what? In the book of Proverbs, it tells you how you take correction. It's super important. It demonstrates whether you're a wise person or a foolish person. It's in there. It's available to us. It tells us how to correct it. It tells us how to keep it right. So tonight, as we begin this study in the book of Proverbs, how is your response to the Word of God? Let's ask God to help us to have the proper response. And if we're not discerning, if God's not changing or transforming us into the image of His Son, let's find out why. Let's get back and make a commitment. I want to read it. I want to hear it. I want to memorize it. I want to meditate it. I want to study it. And I want to obey it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You for Your Word. Lord, You are an amazing God. And Lord, it's amazing how You can transform us. You could take someone who was lost in their sins and put them on the road to heaven. But that's not the only thing that You do. Lord, You begin a work in their heart and a work in their life that they become more and more in Christ-like day after day. And God, that we would be embracing this, that we would desire that, hey, I want to be like Christ, so I need to learn to obey. I need to learn how to memorize. I need to learn how to meditate because I ought to be a teacher here. I ought to be farther along, but I'm not. And Lord, I confess my sin. I should be farther along. I want to be farther along. I've seen things and times in my life that the disconnect has been there, and I make fleshly decisions because of the fact that I have not learned as much as I should. And Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, I want to be in your word. I want to not just study it. I want to obey it. And Lord, help us if there's someone here tonight that's struggling with obeying. Help us if there's someone here tonight that's just struggling with reading it or thinking about it or memorizing it. Lord, the word of God makes an impact and change our life. Help us to embrace it. In Jesus' name, amen.